open up your Bibles this morning as we look at God's Word to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 18 this morning, as we jump right back into our study in the book of Ephesians, and we're in the great chapter of Ephesians 5, where it's very practical, very down to earth. You're going to start getting into more and more into relationships, and of course, but before we get there, we're going to look at walking wisely today, walking wisely, wise living in evil days. Because something that comes upon our mind from time to time as Christians in this day and age is this: how can I live for Christ in this world when it feels like and it seems like the world is getting worse and worse? How can I live in such a world? It's a hard thing to do. Everything seems to be going the opposite direction, right? Culture seems to be going the opposite direction. Things seem to be, bad and against God and against His ways. So what will we need? What will our kids need? You know, sometimes I think about that. What will my kids face? What will my grandkids, what will your great-grandkids face to live in this increasingly hostile and dark world? Paul's answer: wisdom. Wisdom. A good example of wisdom in a dark time is Winston Churchill. And in the late 1930s, early 1940s, Nazi Germany was on the advance, and they were invaded multiple countries. And at that point, not too many countries were standing up to Hitler's advance. And so many people didn't know what to do at that point early on. And so some wanted peace no matter what, and so many were suggesting that England just make peace with Hitler so that at that point for them it felt like the safer option, less costly option. But Churchill knew that peace with Germany would only bring with it horrific ramifications in the future. And so in wisdom, he chose to stand up and fight. And so he rallied his country to stand firm, and the rest is history. We know that over time, more and more countries joined the Allies, and the United States being one of them. But the question is, if Churchill didn't choose to stand wisely, we don't know what could have happened. And it shows wisdom in this dark and difficult time. When other people are giving in, when other people are quiet, Churchill stood firm, stood up in wisdom. And that, in a way, illustrates what we are called to do. In a dark and hard moment, in a dark and evil age, as we need wisdom. We need God's wisdom to know how to live rightly in this age. Let me show you from our passage what it says. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 15. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And we'll stop there for this morning. Once again, I'm going to give you really the main point up front, and it's this: take care to walk wisely. Take care to walk wisely. There in verse 14, 15, look what he says. He says, look carefully then how you walk. Look carefully how you walk. So look carefully means pay attention. Watch. Notice how you're living. You can't be like a person walking and covering their eyes. They're going to stumble everywhere. They're not walking carefully. We have to live life with eyes wide open, so to say. Eyes wide open spiritually. Ever try to walk through your house in the dark? What happens? You step on a Lego, right? The worst pain in the world. No, I'm just joking. Your knee always finds its way into a table or a door frame or something like that. You have to be on the lookout. You have to be on the lookout. You have to be careful. He says, look carefully how you walk, meaning you have to be mindful how you live as a Christian. That's his point. Be mindful how you live. Because when it's dark, You have to be careful where you're walking. There could be a Lego there. There could be a door frame. There could be a step that's there. And so you have to have careful walking. So careful walking is alert and mindful walking. It's alert and mindful living. And so this means, as a Christian, to live rightly for the Lord is going to take intentional effort. It's going to take conscientious effort. So many Christians act like their Christian life is one where their faith is something that they can take off the shelf and then put it back up. Meaning, it's Sunday, I'm going to take my faith off the shelf. And then Sunday's over, I put my faith back on the shelf and I live sort of in default mode. But that's not how you ought to live as a Christian. Your faith should influence and integrate into every single thing that you do. There is no faith shelf. There are myriads of Christians who are totally fine with complacency, with the same old routine, the same old ways, and they're perfectly fine with the way that their life is, and they've gotten into this default mode where there is no intentionality. There is no conscious effort to grow and mature and to change. There may even be some in this room where you maybe come in week in and week out, and you have heard sermon after sermon, but you leave and it's all the status quo. Once again, it's the same. But that's not how the Christian life is to be lived. There is no room for complacency in the Christian's life. You can't sit idle. You can't be in cruise control in your Christian life and expect to be godly and expect to be growing. For Paul is telling us here, there must be this active looking carefully how you walk. And that means you're alert, you're intentional. Because a spiritually lackluster and lazy Christian is an unwise, immature Christian. And so we cannot be slack. We need to be reflecting regularly upon our lives. And so that means often evaluating my heart, evaluating your heart, asking, how am I doing? Am I failing in something? How am I doing as a husband, as a wife, as a parent? How am I doing as a church member, as a church attender? How am I living? What's going well? Am I showing the love of Christ more? Am I content? Am I wise? Am I being wise? Am I being thankful? Now, for some people, when they think about this reflection and when they do this reflection, it just leads them to mope around in guilt and shame. Oh, I failed. I failed again. Right? But really, this isn't meant to do that. This is to prevent you from being idle, to prevent you from being ineffective, unfruitful. It's a part of living, walking wisely is this evaluation, is looking carefully. How am I living? How am I living in my life? Just think of a wise worker at the workplace. A wise, good worker isn't lazy. They aren't idle. But a good, wise worker is someone who is evaluating, how am I doing at my workplace? Am I doing a good job? Am I getting better? Am I growing in my knowledge and my skill? And they're seeking to get better. And so in the Christian life, we need to be like that in some ways. We're looking carefully. How am I doing? How can I grow? How can I do better? And so you're living mindfully as a Christian. Are you in the lookout of how can I grow? Are you aware of what tempts me? Do I perceive the spiritual dangers around me? Or am I blind to them? It's when we are not careful that we end up joining in with others in their sin, blending in with the culture, or other things. But if we're on guard, you can be careful that I'm not going to give in to those temptations because I'm at least aware of them. I'm on guard. Paul goes on to say, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So a Christian can either live wisely in this age or foolishly. Which path are you on? The wise way, the foolish way. It kind of sounds like Proverbs, right? There's a foolish path, there's a wise path. And so we see that it's careful, mindful, alert living is wise living. It's wisdom. It's living with wisdom. There are many Christians who could beat you in Bible trivia, but they do not know how to live wisely. Knowledge is not the same thing as wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge lived out. I'm going to take this knowledge, I'm going to live it out. I'm going to live in light of it. And so it's about living wisely. A Christian life isn't all about facts and trivia. It's made up of wise, right conduct. So do you want to live a godly life? You have to have wisdom. You have to have wisdom. Listen to what James says. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. You see how wisdom and right conduct go hand in hand. It's by my wisdom that I live rightly. As I said last week, life is messy. It's complicated. It's not always cut and dry. It brings you this tangled web, and you have to sort through it, right? And so what do you need? You need wisdom to sort through the mess. You need wisdom to untangle and see what's the truth. And so we need wisdom. But my question for you is, how often do you pray for wisdom? James says, pray for it. Pray for wisdom, and God will give it to you. Are you actively taking care as to how you live? Be in God's Word. Be among the people of God. Pray, discern, evaluate, reflect. Now, what's a vital part of wise, careful living? Paul says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. So listen to this. Vital part of living wisely is using your time wisely. Using your time wisely. Oh, how we need this reminder in our day, because wasting of time is a characteristic of our day. It really is. There's so much. When you think about it, there's so much that can waste your time, isn't there? There's so much that can catch your attention, that so much that can distract you and waste our time. Now, there's nothing wrong with inherently with a lot of these things, right? There's nothing wrong with inherently with social media, but social media can be a time waster, can it? An utmost time waster. TV can be a time waster. How much time is wasted on little, needless, shallow, worthless things? Now, of course, there is a place for rest and leisure. Yes. Right? Appropriate amounts of rest and leisure are not wasting time. They are not. It's a part of caring for your mind and your body that, okay, my mind needs a break. My body needs a break. And we can do it gratefully and enjoyment to God. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this. Or thank you, Lord, for giving me this good food that I can sit and enjoy with other people, right? This can be done in joy and gratitude, in appropriate measures. These things are good. But what I'm talking about, of course, is the excessiveness of what we do, of wasting time. And what Paul is showing us is that wise living means wise time management. And that means if you're wasting large swaths of time, you're being foolish. Now, not many of us think that way. When we waste time, we don't think of it that big of a deal. Well, it's not that big of a deal. You move on with life. But how would it change if you remembered, wow, this is foolish. Like, why am I wasting this? Wasting it. How would it change? Now, I don't think God wants us so concerned that, you know, we're so worried and fretful that, oh no, I wasted 1 minute, I'm going to freak out. That's not healthy. But I would say generally, we need to think about, am I a constant time waster or not? Do I constantly just waste time? You have to be conscientious and careful in order to not waste time, don't you? Because our default mode is to sit back, and it's so easy to just, you know, waste time. And I'm sure we've all caught ourselves doing this. You sit back and you mindlessly waste time, and you look up. It's a couple hours later, and you're thinking, wait, where did the time go? Like, what happened here? Right? But Christians are not to be time wasters. But what does Paul show us? We are to be time redeemers. Making the best use of time is literally redeeming the time. It's this image of buying back the time. And so the idea is the days are evil. And so take the opportunities that you do have. Redeem them. Make good use of the time that you do have amidst this dark and evil age. So don't waste these opportunities that God has given to you. Redeem them and use them for the Lord. So imagine you're at work and there's some sort of emergency. And I think we've all, you know, had days like that where you set out, there's going to be a normal day at work, and of course something big goes down, there's some sort of something, and your day feels like it's ultimately ruined. But, you know, by the end of the day, work day, you have 30 minutes left, an hour left. You could waste those last 30 minutes if you wanted to. I feel like some do. Or, amidst this bad day, what could you do? You could redeem the time that you do have, couldn't you? You're going to say, okay, rest of the day was just ruined, but I have 30 minutes. I have an hour. I'm going to redeem this time. I'm going to make the best use of it. That's sort of the idea on the bigger scale of things. The days are evil. Things do not always go as planned. You know, things, there's lots of sin. There's lots of mess. But what are you going to do with the time that you do have? What are you going to do with those opportunities? Are you going to waste them? Or are you going to redeem and use that time for God? Use that time for good in a bad situation. That's the idea. That's wisdom. And so think about your workplace. How could you redeem the time? Think about your home. How could you redeem the time? Think about your daily life. How could you make the best use of the opportunities you do have? And I thought, over the time here, you know, people have brought up such good ideas. You know, you go into the store, why not say, hey, why don't you ask someone from church, why don't you just come along? And if you have some time, come along, we'll talk, and we'll encourage one another, and you're still getting chores done, right? But you're redeeming the time. Hey, let's use this time to encourage one another. I'm going there anyway. Let's do it. You know, you're doing yard work. Hey, you want to come over? And even if you want to watch me, let's talk. Right? That's redeeming the time. Making the best use of the time that you have. So take care to walk wisely, but how can we do this? First, God's will teaches us how to walk wisely. God's will teaches us how to walk wisely. So let's say that you need to walk through a room in the dark. And doesn't it help you to know the room first, right? So I think we all know, like, the rooms at our house or apartment or wherever you live. You know the rooms, and so you know when you're walking through the dark, you know, okay, there's a table there. There's usually a Lego right there. I'm going to avoid that one, right? There's a door frame there. Okay, so you know the layout before you go in the dark. It's important, and it helps you to walk carefully when you know it. When you ever go somewhere new and walk in the dark and you have no idea where anything is, and you're just bumping into everything, right? Because you don't know beforehand where things are. And so also, we need to know some things to walk wisely in this dark world. And what do we need to know? God's will. Verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So maybe you're sitting here this morning and you hear all about how important it is to walk wisely in this evil age. You see the need. And you don't want to live foolishly, but all of it seems daunting to you. And so maybe you're thinking, okay, I want to live wisely, but how? How will I be able to do this? Because life is complicated, life is messy. And here's the answer that God has given to us through Paul's writing. Wise living comes from knowing God's will. When you know God's will, it teaches you how to live wisely in this dark and evil age. And so we see that wise living comes ultimately from God and His Word. So wise living in this world doesn't come from culture. It doesn't come from secular psychology. It doesn't come from our own feeble thoughts. It comes from God Himself. God's wisdom is true wisdom. True wisdom comes from Him. And so, yeah, there might be times where a culture taps into God's wisdom, and so they may be right in that degree, but ultimately, God's wisdom is true wisdom. So no wonder we have to go to Him to find it. He has a way of life He wants from us. It's His will. It's the way that He has laid out for us. He has given the ways, His will for us in what He has commanded and instructed, but also in the principles and examples found in Scripture. So many people try to live their life according to their own wisdom, and it does not go well. They wonder why my life is in shambles, because you're going by your own wisdom, your own thoughts. So many people try to live their life according to the wisdom of the world, and they wonder, why am I so unsatisfied? Why is my life in ruins? It's because in order to live wisely, you have to know what the will of the Lord is. You have to comprehend it. Not just know it in your brain, but actually understand, comprehend it. And so some Christians believe, oh, just love, we don't need that doctrine stuff. But here's a clear verse showing us you need to know some stuff. You need to know the will of God. That's vital to right, wise living. And so that means we should be bathed in the Word of God, because that is where we find wisdom, true wisdom. It's in the Word of God. And so how much are you in the Word of God throughout the week? How much are you under the teaching and preaching of God's Word and eager and attentive that I want to hear from Him? But notice what else Paul says. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so he's showing us this contrast that you can be foolish or you can be wise and know what the will of God is. And so the implication is this. Folly is not knowing or not wanting to know the will of God. That is folly. If you disregard God's word and you seek to live in your own way, it means you're being foolish. When you turn away from God and to anything else, you are the Proverbs fool. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs says. And so you cannot disregard the source of wisdom and expect to live wisely. And so many people, they live their lives with no regard for God. And it doesn't end up being right, godly, wise living, of course. Others try to live some moral code by some vague moral standard of their own making, but it does not work. You have to go to the Lord. So as we think about living in these days, they're often characterized by darkness and evil. A key thing is I need to go to the Lord. Because He has the wisdom that I need to live in this world. Keep going to Him. Search His Word. Pray for Him to show you what to do. Put everything through the filter of Scripture. Because when you're faced with a difficult, complicated situation and don't know how to act, we need to consider, what does the Bible say? How often do you actually try to discern what to do by thinking, what would be pleasing to the Lord? What would be pleasing to the Lord? And so we're learning how to live wisely, and so we find knowing God's will is a foundational part of that. But what else do we see? Number two, God's Spirit empowers us to walk wisely. So I want you to imagine a race car and a track. And so let's just, you know, for this morning, think of, okay, your life, you and your life are the race car. Okay? Living rightly for the Lord. So think of it in that context. We just found what the track is. The track is God's will. So the track shows you this is the path you need to go on. You divert from the path, it's foolish. So you got the path, the will of God. You got the race car, you. But what is something missing for a race car to go on that track? You need some fuel, don't you? You need some power. You need something that empowers the car to go on the track, or you're not going to go anywhere. A race car with no fuel and a racetrack is worthless. It just sits there. And so you need something. You need empowerment. And so what is it that actually empowers you to do the will of God? It is the Spirit of God. You need the Spirit. Listen to verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So many Christians, they know the track well, which is great. We just talked about that. Meaning they know God's word. They know God's will in and out in that sense. But they're missing something. They know the track, but they miss the power to go on the track well. They're missing the power. You see, you rely on yourself. You're like that race car who knows the track but can't go anywhere. Because you're relying on yourself to do it. You're thinking in your own power you can do it. But we need to remember, in order to live for the Lord, I need the Spirit. I need the Spirit's enabling, empowering work in my life. And so you could really distill it down to this. To live for God, you need God. To live for God, you need God. Because it shows us He gives us the path and the power, doesn't He? So, Christian, you are not left on your own to roll up your sleeves and do all this and live wisely. Okay, I just got to gear up and just do it. That's not the way that we're called to live. And aren't you so thankful for that? Meaning God doesn't lay all of these things and say, okay, you're on your own. Just do it. But really, He lays it all out. And He says, I'm going to also give you the power to do it. Meaning God gives us the power and the path. His grace teaches and empowers. It instructs and enables. And so this means when I live in a dark, messy world, I should not only ask, Lord, what should I do? That's important. Lord, what should I do? I don't know what to do. That is step one. But what is step two? You ask, please, Lord, help me to do it. I must know what to do, but Lord, I need help to do it. Because I can't do it on my own. I may know the path, but Lord, I need the power. Because I cannot in my own power do it. And the Lord gives us what we need. And I think in our circles, we're pretty good at the first part. I think we're pretty good, okay, we want to know God's word and we want to know His will, and that is so good. That is so important to know the path. We need to know the track. And I think we do pretty good at knowing, okay, Lord, here's a situation. How best should I respond in this messiness? Okay, let's go to God's word. Yes, that's great. But I think sometimes in our circles, we're missing somewhat on the power side. of humbly, Lord, I need to rely upon you to fill me and empower me to do this. To like, I'm going to be on my knees. Lord, you have shown me what to do, but Lord, I'm in dependence. I'm in prayer. I need, Lord, you to work in me to do this. Lord, you call me to good, be a good spouse, to love my wife. That's great to know it, and you should know it. But to say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Please help me, because I fail and I fail and I fail. But be as a parent, Lord, you've called me to train them up in the instruction of the Lord. And I know that, and it's great to know that, and I should know that. But Lord, I fail so much, I'm weak, and I need you. That's what sometimes we're missing, is that utter reliance, that I'm on my knees in prayer, and I'm on dependence, and I realize there's nothing to the Lord I bring. Simply to the cross I cling as I keep going to Him. And I need Him, His Spirit, to work within me to do this. So what does Paul say? Be filled with the Spirit. We know every believer at salvation has the Spirit. But this is different. This is being filled with the Spirit. It's different than just merely possessing the Spirit. Because you see this throughout Acts, is the apostles, of course, at Pentecost, they receive the Spirit, they have the Spirit. But then, as they're ministering, the text is very clear. They are filled with the Spirit, said something, did something, right? Paul, filled with the Spirit, said, right? And so this is this different, is this. This being filled and empowered in that moment to especially serve the Lord powerfully, enabling them to do it. And so really we learned you can grieve the Spirit. Remember that in Ephesians? So you can grieve the Spirit. It's possible to grieve the Spirit. And it's also possible to be filled more with the Spirit. And so it's really in how we are responding, how we're yielding to the Spirit that determines how much you're filled by Him. And so if you keep pushing against God and kind of going your own way, you're not going to be filled by the Spirit. You're grieving the Spirit. But if you let Him guide you, Lord, I'm depending on you. Please guide me, direct me, influence me. Help me walk by the Spirit. Lead me. I want to be led by the Spirit. This mentality of dependence and reliance, whereby you say, Lord, fill me, guide me, empower me. That's what we need to be filled by the Spirit. And so you cannot live rightly in these evil days if you rely on your own power. It's not going to work. You are not strong enough. You are not capable enough. You need the Spirit. You need to realize that I need God's Spirit to work within me. And so I need to look to and depend on Him to empower me to live for the Lord. It's so easy to just say, hear about the things you need to do. You got to do this. You got to do this. And those are important, right? They give us what to do. And you got to know that, what to do. We learn that. But also, I need power to do it, and I can't rely on myself to do that. And so here Paul says something interesting. He says, be filled with the Spirit, and really, he's showing us, but not with wine. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. See the filling? One is like filled with alcohol, one is filled with the Spirit, and it's contrasted here. And it's really showing this image, I believe, of those who get drunk, they intentionally fill themselves up more and more with alcohol. And what happens to your behavior? That alcohol influences your behavior to often do something foolish or bad or wrong. But what's the contrast? Do not do that, right? You're out of control. You're often leading you to debauchery, right? So sinfulness, it leads nowhere good. And so the contrast is what? Instead of that, push away from that, be filled more and more with the Spirit. And what does that do? It influences your behavior. So now, what is one of the fruit of the Spirit? Self-control. You're actually more under control through the Spirit. And so now you're living for Him more wisely. And so that's really the idea, is what are you letting to fill and influence you? Is it the Spirit? Is it something else? What are you letting to fill your mind and your heart and your body, whatever it may be? What are you letting to fill? Is it the Spirit or something else? And so we live in a dark world with evil all around us. And knowing how to live in such a world, it's not easy. Temptations are strong. They're everywhere. There's a lot of deceit, deception. The messiness of life and circumstances makes it hard. And so what do we need for such a time as this? We need to live wisely for the Lord. And that's really how you can shine bright in a dark world, is that you're living according to the will of God by the Spirit of God in this dark world. That, Lord, you laid before me the truth and the principles for how I can live wisely, and Lord, you've given me what I need to do it. And that's how you live, no matter how dark the period is, no matter how wicked, no matter how worse it gets around us, we can live wisely for the Lord. And that's how the church has been faithful to the Lord. Of course, there's been people who have been unfaithful, but that those people who have been faithful to the Lord amidst all of the craziness of the world, right? Think about what people have been through. You think of the Reformation. You think through the early church. You think through our day. Think about everything that people have been through as Christians. What has helped them to persevere and be faithful? It's looking to God's Word and by the power of God's Spirit to walk wisely. And so if you're wondering, how do I live for Christ in this world? You have your answer right here. You can walk wisely by looking to His Word and look in Him, being empowered by His Spirit. And so we seek the wisdom of God. Every day we seek the wisdom of God through His Word. We rely upon the Spirit to empower us. And so let's not be careless and lazy Christians. Let's look carefully how we live. It's easy to give in to the world when the world is going the opposite way, when the world is pressuring, when the world is tempting, when everything seems like it's against you. It's easy to give in. And so you have to look carefully. And so we look carefully how we live. But let's not foolishly waste time. Let's redeem it. Let's not be filled with wine, but let's be filled with the Spirit. Because we are those who used to be in folly, darkness, and death. Before Christ, that's what we used to be. We used to be utter fools who rejected God in utter darkness and death because we sinned against God and we looked to ourselves. But God, in His love and grace, has redeemed us out of folly, has redeemed us out of death, has redeemed us out of darkness, and saved us through Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again. And now He empowers us to live as shining lights, filled with Spirit-given wisdom and eternal life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this morning. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Spirit. Lord, You have given us everything for life and godliness. Your divine power has granted it to us, Lord. Help us to look to You then, to know that we can walk wisely. No matter how complicated and hard things get around us, Lord, You have given us everything that we need. Help us to be reminded that You have enough for us. That, Lord, You are enough for us. And so help us to turn to You. No matter what we face, help us to be faithful, Lord. Help us to walk in wisdom. As we go our separate ways, as we go to our workplaces, as we go and mingle with others throughout the week, Lord, there's tough situations. There's complex situations. But, Lord, You have what we need. And so help us to always just fall at Your feet in dependence and recognize our need. And so I just pray for each of us to live this out. In Your power, in Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.